Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. This is the 7th episode in the second batch of Vintage Bhajans. It has been our endeavor to rediscover and relive some of the beautiful melodies that used to be sung in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan in the 60s and 70s. And today, we have a beautiful bhajan adoring our Bhagwan as Krishna, as Shirdi Sai, as Satya Sai. Here is how the first line goes.
काशाय वेश धारणा.
Yes, it sounds very fresh, sounds very new, isn't it? And the tune also is so uplifting. As we go along in this program, we will learn the bhajan, how to sing. We will learn its raga. We will learn the beat of the bhajan. And then we'll take every word that constitutes this bhajan and discuss its significance. So let's get started with the lyrics of the bhajan.
Kashaya Vesha Dharana Kaliyuga Avatara Radha Ramana Kunja Vihari Sri Satya Sai Dwarakamayi Narayana Chitravati Tira Narayana Hari.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, we have now Brother Srinivasulu sharing with us the tune of the bhajan. You will listen to how this bhajan should be sung as it is demonstrated by Brother Srinivasulu, and every line of Srinivasulu will be followed by Brother Anirudh. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh and try to get a grasp of the tune of this bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham.
काशाय वेश धारणा काशाय वेश धारणा काशाय वेश धारणा काशाय वेश धारणा कलियुग अवतार राधारमणा कलियुग अवतार राधारमणा कलियुग अवतार राधारमणा कलियुग अवतार राधारमणा काशाय वेश धारणा काशाय वेश धारणा कुंज विहारी श्री सत्य साई 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 द्वारकमाई नारायणा द्वारकमाई नारायणा द्वारकमाई नारायणा द्वारकमाई नारायणा चित्रावती तीर नारायणा हरि चित्रावती तीर नारायणा हरि चित्र ಚಿತ್ರಾವತಿ ತೀರ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿ, ಚಿತ್ರಾವತಿ ತೀರ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿ, ಕಾಶಾಯ ವೇಷ ಧಾರಣ.
So that's the soulful melody. Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh gave us a beautiful demonstration of how this bhajan flows. And now for those of us who are keen students of music, who want to learn how to play this on different musical instruments, let us hear Anirudh share with us about the technical structure of this bhajan. So welcome Anirudh to this raga section. Tell us, what are your thoughts on the swaras of this bhajan?
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
This old bhajan or vintage bhajan is based on rag Yaman in the Hindustani classical music, and we call it Kalyani in the Carnatic classical music. It's a very, very pleasant raga which has all the seven notes. Ne Shudni, Ne Re Shudri, Ga Ma Tivrama, Pa Dha Shuddha, Ni Da Sa Sa Ni Da Pa Ma Ga Re Ga Re Sa Sare ga ma pa dha ni sa sa ni ra ba ma ga re sa. This is the typical Carnatic way of representing Kalyani, whereas the Hindustani musicians will start from ne re ga pa va ma re ga. By singing the swaras itself, it's very pleasant feeling, right? It's very soothing to listen. And you have many bhajans in Yaman.
Premamaya Bhagavan Saira Sundara Vadana Sarasi Janayana Panduranga Vithale Harinarayana Harinarayana Govinda Vigneshwara Gananatha Gajanana.
The list goes on. You have plenty of bhajans, kritis, and even many compositions of saints in Yaman.
Since this is such a pleasant raga, why don't we spend some time dwelling on the raga, and maybe you could do an alap or a dhun just to relish the beauty of this raga.
Yeah, sure.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
The name is so captivating that you feel like singing more.
Yes.
And dhun is one way which can really keep you for hours and hours just contemplating on his name.
Yes. Fully concentrated only on the name.
Yeah.
You fly on the wings of the beautiful melody.
Yeah.
Into the heaven of the bliss of his name.
Exactly. And such beautiful ragas like Yaman help so much in this endeavor.
Absolutely.
Get connected to song.
So let's take this bhajan now.
Yeah, so let's take the first line and do the swaras.
Kashaya vesha dharana gadapapa garisa sarigariga
Gada papa garesa sarigarega
Kali yuga avatara radha ramana Nirere nirere nirigama pama garesa
Nire re re nire re re nire gama pama gare sa
Kashaya vesha dharana Gada papa gare sa sari gare ga
Gada papa gare sa Sare ga re ga
Kunja vihari Shri Satya Sai Maga ga ma ma da ni ma da sa sa da ni ri sa
Maga ga ma ma da ni ma da sa sa da ni ri sa
Dwarakamayi Narayana ne ga ri ga sa sa ni sa da ni sa
ni ga ri ga sa sa ni sa da ni sa
Chitravati Tira Narayana Hari Sa Sa Nida Ni Nida Ma Ni Nida Pa Ma Da Pa Ga
Sa Sa Nida Ni Nida Ma Ni Nida Pa Ma Da Pa Ga
Really the beauty of a bhajan that you discover through the swaras is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, though the raga is so bright and pleasant, there is a lot of emotion also in this.
Yes.
The way the third and the fourth lines are sung.
Kunja Vihari Sri Satya Sai Dwarakamai Narayana.
Narayana, the slow glide in the Narayana really gives us to feel the song and sing. And especially my most favorite line is the last line.
Chitravati Tira Narayana Hari.
It's a very beautiful line.
Chitravati Tira Narayana Hari Kashaya Vesha Dharana.
Beautiful. Yes, it's bright, it is soft, and it flows like milk.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And really feeling fortunate to learn all these melodies which were sung during the olden days.
No wonder Bhagwan used to love the bhajan sessions in those days, and the sessions used to go on not for half an hour or 1 hour, but for 2 hours and 2.5 hours. I guess he would be lost and everyone along with him also would be.
Absolutely.
In another world. So let's do the beat of this bhajan.
Coming to the beat of this bhajan, it is 8-beat, which is Aditalam in the Carnatic classical music or Kaherva in the Hindustani classical music. So we shall give the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Kashaya Vesha Dharana.
Kashaya Vesha Dharana.
Kali Yuga Avatara Radha Ramana.
Kali Yuga Avatara Radha Ramana.
Kashaya Vesha Dharana.
Kashaya Vesha Dharana.
I guess we'll relish this bhajan more once we also dwell into the meaning of its every word, because some of the words used in this bhajan are not so frequently used.
Yeah, the very first line itself shows. And it's really, it gives a scope to imagine and sing.
Absolutely.
This bhajan Kashaya Vesha Dharana.
Yes, so maybe we'll do that in the next section where we discuss the meaning.
Yeah, and absolutely this bhajan perfectly fits for a darshan song.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. They talk about engineering and imagineering. I think we all should develop this facet of imagineering a bhajan. And I think that would really re-engineer our lives.
Exactly. It will help a lot, actually.
Yes, on the path towards Bhagwan. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishnu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So we now come to this most interesting part of learning what this bhajan means. Let's take the first line.
Kashaya Vesha Dharana.
Kashaya Vesha refers to the ochre robe. Dharana means one who is adorned with. So this entire line means the one who has donned a saffron attire. Many years ago, in the early 90s, one morning after granting darshan to all the devotees, Swami was still out on the veranda talking to primary school students and joking with the tiny tots. Suddenly, he motioned to the warden of the Anandpur campus, called her near and gave her a few instructions. Before the girls knew what was happening, they were being asked to sit in lines, facing each other, just as they always sat when Bhagwan was about to distribute something to them. There were many occasions when Baba had gifted blouse pieces cut from his robe, but the students rarely had received a full robe of Bhagwan. And a few minutes later, boys emerged from Swami's interview room with arms full of colored robes, and Bhagwan was now moving gracefully among the students, dropping various colors of silken cloth into their eager hands. Some were pink, some were white, yet others were deep red, some were bright yellow, some even the color of gold. And the students were amazed because they had never seen Swami wearing such a variety of colors. One of the students was Miss Sutopa Sen. As Swami approached her, her heart was beating fast. Which color is Swami going to gift me with? And even as she was praying and hoping for the best, Swami was already right in front of her. Her face was covered in that haze of orange before her, and Baba dropped a folded robe onto her lap and moved on. Sutopa, in all eagerness, looked down at her blessing. It was not fresh silk, but it was all the familiar saffron terry cloth, a blend of cotton which was Baba's everyday wear. And what was most exhilarating is, on closer inspection, she found that this was definitely not new. It was a robe which was well worn and laundered. There were even two stitches missing from the neckline. One can only imagine her joy. She was dancing. Her heart was in ecstasy, ruminating on the blessing that had been conferred on her. And once Swami disappeared into the mandir, the excited chatter among the girls began. "Hey, what color have you got? Did Swami look at you? What did he say when he gave you?" And then explanations and elaborations on what each person had received. Someone said, "Pink stands for love. So you have received the robe of love." Someone else said, "No, mine is white, and white stands for purity. Mine is red, and red is auspiciousness. It is the color of kumkum." And Sutopa was wondering, "What does orange stand for?" And immediately the girl next to her whispered into her ear, "Saffron is for sacrifice." And from then on, Swami's robe not only filled her altar at her home, but most importantly, this virtue of sacrifice and surrender that this robe reminded her every morning and evening is what has helped her tide through multiple complex challenges she has faced in life as she worked for the City of London Corporation for over a decade. As she says, "It has taken many years to understand and appreciate the lesson that was given to me on that momentous morning in Prashanthi Nilayam. I think of sacrifice as the quality of giving up something for nothing in return. But the irony is, the reward for this one selfless quality is that we receive everything that we can ever want. In short, sacrifice endears one to God." One day in darshan line, as Bhagwan was slowly moving across the devotees, there was one person in orange clothes sitting ever so silently and calmly. Everything about him was simple, gentle. He had a letter in his hand. When Bhagwan came, Swami too was very gentle with him. Very softly, he smiled at him and collected the letter from his hand. It was beautiful to see Bhagwan interact with him. And next to this person in orange was another man, supposedly a holy man, who had 10 Rudraksha beads around his neck, and there were big vibhuti marks on his forehead. Very ostentatious signs of his holiness
and he was trying to get Bhagwan's attention. Bhagwan looked at him sharply and said, "Look at the person next to you. Spirituality means simplicity, not show." In Gita Vahini, referring to devotees, Bhagwan says, they dip in water twice a day. They go through the morning, noon and evening rituals. They worship the household gods. They draw lines of ash or sandalwood paste on their brows, arms and chest. They put dots of saffron on their faces. They wear strings of beads and rosaries around their necks. And they roam about from temple to temple. They make pilgrimages from one spiritual place to another. They visit one spiritual teacher to another. They circumambulate holy shrines. They attend many discourses, recitals of epics and readings of scriptures. The best we can say about such people is that they are engaged in good activities, but we cannot say they are devotees. Devotion has no relationship with dress and speech. On the basis of mere raiment and religiosity of expression, we cannot call a person a devotee of the Lord. Devotion is a matter of the inner consciousness, of feeling, rather than external behavior. And in Prashanti Vahini, Swami adds, mere inactivity announced by the saffron cloth and the shaved head is no renunciation at all. To deserve the name, one must have avoided the duality of joy and grief, of good and bad. So Bhagwan very clearly says that just because one wears an ochre robe, that does not give him the license to not work, nor does it qualify him to be called a renunciant. In fact, it reminds one of how Swami used to say, "For me, there is nothing bad. We judge, but God only loves. We judge, that is why we cannot love all. God does not judge. He is not attached. That is why He can love all and serve all. And that is why love all, serve all is His way of being." On one occasion, while speaking to the students in an informal setting, Swami pointed to His ochre robe and said, "There is no one today other than me who deserves to don the ochre robe. Only a person who is selfless top to toe has the right to wear the orange. Only a life that is steeped in sacrifice in its every cell can wear the symbol of sacrifice, the ochre robe, the kashaya vesha." In fact, it is also interesting to know how as a child Bhagwan collected his playmates to form the Pandari Bhajan group, which travelled from village to village, dancing and disseminating the glory of God. And Swami had a dress code and a color code for this group. Krishnam Raju, Swami's earthly cousin brother, once recalled, "About 20 of us joined the Pandari Bhajans. We used to soak our clothes, our shirts, our short pants, a towel and a scarf in a mixture of water, turmeric powder and lime to get the fabric dyed light orange." So that is how Bhagwan and the entire group created orange attire. And perhaps that is the first time Swami wore orange as a little one. He created it to wear it himself and also disseminate this idea to his playmates. Later on, of course, after he declared his avatarhood in Urvakonda and returned to Puttaparthi, Baba used to wear a dhoti and a half-sleeved shirt. In those days, Baba was absolutely unpredictable. No one could guess what his mood would be when. Sometimes he could be very gentle, at other times stoic, sometimes very loving, at other times harsh. Apparently once, Mother Ishwarama's brother, Chandramouli, in an effort to restrain Baba, accidentally tore Baba's short sleeve shirt. And Bhagwan was so inconsolable with that happening that whatever was offered in exchange for that shirt did not appease his loss. Finally, a mobile garment store, maybe a bullock cart, a cloth shop, came in front of their home, and now Baba was asked to pick whatever he liked. The family thought at least now he would be pacified. And so young Satya went and looked at all the clothes and colors the vendor had brought, and then carefully picked orange-colored cloth piece. This was another instance when, as a child, Baba visibly demonstrated to the family and to the world what was coming. In February 1944, when Baba went to Bangalore, he wore a striped shirt and a dhoti. Mrs. Sucharita Chandrasekhar recalls that one day Baba suddenly said, "I don't like to wear this." So another person, one Mr. Srinivasan, brought a few pieces of makmal dhotis, dhotis dyed in lemon yellow and stitched like a jubba, a long collarless shirt. In fact, in those days, that dress design was called Madanapalli Jubba. So Swami wore that kind of a dress for a while. M. Bhaskar Rao of Bangalore remembers that in 1945, the Pillai tailors of Bangalore stitched Baba's jubba out of calico mills cloth, which was inexpensive but looked like raw silk. The cloth was cream in color and had little spots printed on it. And that design was popularly called as pepper and salt. But soon Baba gave up this jubba and dhoti too. A devotee named Yadalam Venkataramanappa from Bukkapatnam is believed to be the first person who designed a robe for Bhagwan. It was initially light grey in colour and not of full length. It was up to his thighs. So Yadalam Venkataramanappa made Bhagwan wear this, and then, so happy to see him in that attire, he took Bhagwan on a procession. Subsequently, this dress underwent further transformation to a full sleeve body length light yellow and sometimes off-white robe. This robe would be buttoned at the neck and would extend down to the heels. This was reminiscent of the kafni that Shirdi Sai used to wear. But soon this Shirdi Sai look of Baba changed to the Satya Sai look when Sakamma, the dear devotee of Bhagwan, who sacrificed a lot for Swami in those days, stitched an orange robe for him. And from then on, Swami wore orange as his general attire, though he wore other colors on specific occasions and festivals. So Baba himself created orange as a child when he disseminated the glory of the divine among the villagers. Later, he picked orange when he was asked to choose his attire, and then continued to alter his dress till finally orange was offered to him by his devotees. Till we offer orange to him, till we learn to sacrifice and surrender, he will continue to alter us. He will continue to change us. Because the mission of the avatar is to convert all of us into specks of brilliant orange. That is the glory, the mystery, the purity and the power of the one donning the Kashaya Vesha, the supremely sanctifying halo of orange. So it is this Sai, the personification of selflessness and sacrifice, that we adore in the first line. Let's move on to the second line.
Kali Yuga Avatara Radha Ramana.
If the finest emotion in the world is love, the finest expression of love is sacrifice. Water, when crystallizes, is ice. Love, when crystallized and concretized, is sacrifice. And the life of Radha, the greatest contemporaries and devotees of the Lord, when he came down as Krishna, is nothing but a saga of sacrifice. Ramana means the enchanting one. Radha Ramana means the one who captured the mind of Radha, the one who was taken over by Radha because of the purity of her love. For Radha, it did not matter if Krishna loved her. What mattered to her the most is that she loved Krishna. That was enough. True love knows only to sacrifice. It can only think of the beloved's happiness. It can only think of diminishing itself completely for the happiness of the beloved. And in the process, it loses its own identity. That is how it diminishes itself little by little and dissolves into its beloved. That is how Radha's life was. She became a part of Krishna. She melted into Krishna. And this is the kind of love that the Lord wants us to cultivate. That is the reason why He came down in human form again in the age of Kali, Kali Yuga Avatara, as Satya Sai, to inculcate in us at least a little bit of that Radhaness. And this is what is conveyed in the second line. So after the second line, we come back to the first line, which we discussed at length. Moving forward, here is the fourth line.
Kunja Vihari Sri Satya Sai.
Kunja means a thicket, a garden full of trees, a bower. And Kunja Vihari refers to the one who moves about in this garden. So what is this garden in which the Lord moves about? Baba in one discourse way back in 1981 said, God does not seek the flowers that you offer at the altar of your home every morning. These flowers fade and lose luster over time. What God wants is the flowers that are blooming in the tree of your life. It is these flowers which have been fostered, fed and cultivated in your life that are precious to the Lord. It is the fragrance of these flowers of virtue that we have grown in the tree of our own lives which is dear to the Lord. That is the offering that He accepts. There can be no greater flower to offer from the tree of our life to the Lord than sacrifice. And this is what Sri Satya Sai stands for. This is what Sri Satya Sai expects from everyone who likes to be called a Sai devotee. And this is perhaps one way to understand Kunja Vihari Sri Satya Sai. It is for us to ruminate on these words, on these mantras, and get more inferences which will help us to endear ourselves to Satya Sai. Let's move on to the penultimate line.
Dwarakamai Narayana.
We discussed how Baba first shone with the kafni on him, reminding everyone of Shirdi Sai. There is an interesting incident how the first book on Swami was written in Telugu by Baba's teacher at Bukapatnam, V.C. Kondappa. This book was titled Sri Sai Suni Charitra. It was done in 1944. In fact, the poetic contents for this book was given by Baba himself to this teacher directly. One day, Baba asked him to stay up all night at Puttaparthi, and he narrated to him the life story of the first 16 years of Shirdi Sai, as well as certain details of his own life as Satya Sai. And that night, Kondappa had the most beautiful vision of Shirdi Sai. Incidentally, before Kondappa started writing the book, he told Baba, "Baba, you tell everyone that you are Shirdi Baba reborn. What is the proof? Before I write the book on you, I should know this. I should be convinced of this." And Baba granted him that vision where he revealed his identity as Shirdi Sai. This is what propelled Kondappa to undertake the task with complete commitment and devotion. In fact, when others asked Swami for a similar boon, for a similar vision, Swami said, "It cannot be granted to everyone. It was done for a specific purpose. And Kundappa, once convinced of Bhagwan, finished the book with great dedication and surrender. And once the book was released, Baba asked Mrs. M.L. Leela to one day read the book in his presence at the Chitravati sands. And when the sentence, Shirdi Sai Baba is now reborn as Sri Sathya Sai Baba, was read out, immediately Baba's form changed to that of the form of Shirdi Sai. And from among those assembled on that occasion, there was one person, Mr. Lokanath Mudaliar, the father of M.L. Leela, and he could not control himself when he saw that beautiful form of Shirdi Sai, and he started shouting, "Hey Sai, Hey Sai," and he rushed to Baba and hugged him tightly. He did not want to leave Bhagwan. In fact, Swami found it so difficult to release himself from Mudaliar's embrace. He did not let go of Swami until Swami changed his form back to Sathya Sai. This is the glory of Sai, who came first as Shirdi, came first at Shirdi, the Narayana, the all-pervasive Lord, who descended in Shirdi and made Dwaraka Mai his abode. And that is what we hail in this line, Dwaraka Mai Narayana, the all-pervasive Lord, who chose to stay at Dwaraka Mai in Shirdi. Let's move on to the last line.
Chitravati Tira Narayana Hari,
we just heard how on the sands of Chitravati, Swami so beautifully confirmed he is that same Sai, the same Narayana, the same Hari. Yadalam Venkatramanappa, we discussed, was the first person who gifted to Swami a full-length robe and took Baba out on a procession as it used to happen in Shirdi. And Baba, in his graciousness, once materialized a yellow kafni that was worn by Shirdi Sai and gifted it to Yadalam Nagamma, Venkatramanappa's wife. The couple too were an epitome of sacrifice. They were the only couple in Bukkapatnam in those days who supported the devotees who were coming for Bhagwan's darshan. Way back in the 40s and 50s, there were many people who were jealous of Swami, who were hostile to him. But this couple in Bukkapatnam always cared for all those who came to him. There is no greater virtue than sacrifice. There is no greater reward that we can receive in life that sacrifice cannot get it for us. Let us sacrifice the fruit of all our actions at his feet and pray that we too become at least a bit like Radha, a little like Venkataramanappa, and win his love and grace by fostering the fragrance of sacrifice and one day becoming one with this fragrance, such that there exists not the Lord, the devotee, or the virtue of sacrifice. What exists is only sacrifice, only the orange, and we are just a dot in that orange. Dear listeners, with these elevating thoughts, let's sing this bhajan once again, along with students of Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir.
Oh,
Please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We offer this endeavor with gratitude and love at the lotus feet of our most beautiful beloved Bhagwan. So that brings us to the end of this segment of Thursday Life. We now move on to Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Prem and Harishankar are waiting to take over for the next segment where you will dwell on Bhagwan's discourses. I will be back after this episode of Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam and will continue our satsang on Bhagwan's literature. We will discuss the fourth chapter of Prema Vahini, and for today's discussion, along with Sai Prakash, we will have as our guest Dr. Ravi Dabir, a very distinguished dentist from the US who is now settled down in Puttaparthi to serve in Bhagwan's General Hospital. So that's coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, soak yourself in the divine nectarous discourses of Bhagwan. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.